This episode is different.
I don't know. Let's see.
So this is the organization that is built by students for the students. Why? Why you're doing it? Why someone should come and join you?
I also feel like a lot of students, when they come here, have housing issues.
They provide false information about the ranking of the university. It's been like that for, I believe, 20 years.
How was your first launch?
Like beginning of a new chapter, and we didn't even know how it's going to go yet.
Talked about embassy supporting you.
I don't know. A lot of people actually think that way. The balance of working and studying depends on the person, I think, and what kind of work they do. If you work for a company, something related in your field, that could be useful to you. Because
a lot of students are coming into the UK through an agency that gets them enrolled into a university that students themselves don't know much about.
We also have a Telegram channel everywhere, on LinkedIn, on Insta. That's it. We basically advertise as much as we can.
Going through some comments to your post on Instagram, that's an interesting exercise. Funding is another big thing to this kind of organization. How are you guys funded?
Okay, so
let Kalam out. Great. We can start. Ladies, thank you very much for coming to our little hashtag. This episode is different. It's different because, first of all, we have not one but three guests. And you guys are representing an organization, Uzbek Student Union. And the third thing that's making this episode special is obviously the language. We are not communicating in Uzbek. We've decided to make it in English so that we can capture the wider audience to understand what an amazing job you guys are doing. So to people who have just tuned in, tell me about Uzbek Student Union, what it is, why it should be interesting to people who are listening.
The Uzbek Student Union is a student-led organization that is aiming to connect students from Uzbekistan who are studying in the UK, who are studying abroad in general, and want to feel like they're a part of the Uzbek community abroad. And I think this is our main goal.
So you are focusing not just on students who are in the UK. You are aiming to be an international organization.
I mean, technically, we are right now operating only in the UK. But I don't know. Let's see. We don't know yet.
Great. You are quite fresh, quite a new organization. How did you come together, where the idea come from, how it happened?
It happened in December 27th, 2023 is our birthday, actually. Yes. We're all in Tashkent. All of us, our background is we all have Central Asian societies at our respected universities. So we decided to meet up and maybe think of how we can all like collab or do something together. And then we decided, why not have something new? Why not have an organization that is aimed directly at students from Uzbekistan? And so there, then we made the name, we made the Instagram, we made everything, and it all started like that.
Initially, we actually planned to unite all Central Asian countries under that union. But then we thought that we wanted to do something more exclusive and related to Uzbekistan, which is why we spent the whole day, I remember, working on the idea, the charter, the main principles and aims and goals.
All of you are co-founders.
Yeah.
You have another co-founder, Jasur, who is not present here.
Yeah, our president.
Your president. I was looking at your social media pages. There are quite a lot of people with fancy titles. Jasur is your president. Donna, you are general secretary.
Yes.
Sabina, you are responsible for the events, event coordinator.
Event executive as well.
Event executive, more fancier, yes. And Asha, you are information and
communication executive.
Communication executive.
Or media.
Is that the team or do you have a wider team?
This is the main team. This is the committee. But we do have our advisors who are helping a lot. So each of us have like a team of, I think it's 3 to 5 people who are also helping us with like some tasks or like whenever we are like too busy with everything, they're just helping us.
Are they students as well? Or?
Yeah, right. They're all students.
Right. So this is the organization that is built by students for the students, right?
We have volunteers as well who help in our events. setting up, doing different sorts of tasks.
Why you're doing it? Why someone should come and join you?
I think when you arrive to a new country, and sometimes the way you connect with other people is through finding like similar hobbies or similar interests. And sometimes those people could be from the same country you are, because you share so much of it together, and like you're learning all together, adapting in a new place. And as well as just having opportunities that are directly oriented towards Uzbek students, you know, so they can come and they know that they're being represented, that their like their national holidays are celebrated, that their culture is spread around. And it's just like that sense of community, just coming all together and finding your own self within this new place you are here.
I think that's a noble reason and cause to focus on. But is it not difficult? Like all of you obviously are studying, you've got exams and etc. And this is not a small task, organizing events. You've done a few events so far. We'll talk about that as well. How do you manage to balance your studies and organizing all of this?
I think because we all had this similar background of operating, like being presidents of Central Asian societies at the beginning, it was like a really good foundation for us to just understand how to manage it all. Because we were all organizing events or like managing a team of like people, Central Asian people, students, but it was all within our university. So it was on a smaller scale. And I think it was just like this gradual like shift from like not doing anything, then doing something smaller, and then now doing something on like a bigger level. So it was, that's why I think it made it a bit easier.
And even before coming to university, yeah, we all did similar activities in schools as well, organizing societies, starting societies. And I think it's also about priorities. We decided for ourselves that active community involvement is something that's important to us, which is why outside of our studies, we aim to spend most of our time doing something for UZSU.
And I feel like, I mean, we already have been here for a couple of years. So once we came in here, we were like looking around like, oh, what kind of Uzbek events are happening? Like, what kind of celebrations are happening? And I think because we lacked that, we lacked trying, like, it was hard for us to find people around us. So we just wanted to give a platform so it's easier for people to just connect, because we went through the similar things. So we kind of understand what could there be, like, challenges at their different stages.
So what your members will get is this connection, the networking through the events. Is that your pure focus? Organizing events where students can network with each other?
And also promoting the rights of students from Uzbekistan is also one of our aims as part of our charter.
That's interesting. What do you mean by promoting the rights of Uzbek students?
So that's something that we're planning to do in the future, especially with a particular focus, is when students reach out to us with particular ideas, particular initiatives, we're planning to help them set their own projects up in the UK. So help them with their initiatives as well.
Can they reach out to you with their problems too?
I think it depends on the scope of their like problems. There's like so much we can do as a newly established society. And so I think it depends, right?
If it's a legal problem, then I guess our capabilities are limited at the moment.
Right. But obviously we'll be talking about the future plans, but are you planning to kind of have a network of specialists who may somewhat help the students who might have some issues, be it legal or otherwise?
Yes, I think we do.
So you've started officially, you've launched in March?
Second of March.
Yes. There was a wide coverage, obviously, in local media as well. Tell me about it. So how was your first launch? What did it go as you wanted it to go? And what did you learn from that for your following subsequent events?
I loved the launch. I think it was my favorite event. We were talking about it on our way here, actually. I think launch was my favorite event because it was like beginning of a new chapter, and we didn't even know how it's going to go yet, because we just started. We started talking to the embassy. We presented the idea to the embassy, and it was, I think it was in a month, like a month in advance before the event. We started planning and everything. I liked it a lot. I think it went well.
So to those who were not familiar, what was the launch about? Can you tell me a bit more what you did in your launch event?
So we introduced the USSU with a presentation. We answered questions of the audience. So had the ambassador himself speaking at the event. And then we concluded the event with a Zakovat formed question quiz.
That was the most fun and most interactive.
Yeah. I think highlight for our Uzbeks is always plov. I think we always can sell our event saying like there's going to be food, you know, and everybody comes in. And I think, the whole dynamic of it just being all flowy. I remember because we started planning this a month or more in advance. And so I remember one day we came in like, oh my God, the event is tomorrow. Like, it's already here. Like, for us, it seemed like it's going to take us like a couple of weeks before we understand that it's going to come, but it came so fast. But then the process went really smooth. I think the whole presentations and then like talking to people afterwards about their ideas, about any of their comments. We liked how people were eager to join, how many requests we got, if they could join the team, if they can help out with anything. People send us like, oh, I have experience in doing this and this. Can I use this within your platform? Like, oh, can like your society help me with my CV, with the networks and everything? So it went, I think, even greater than what we initially expected. We didn't expect the scope like for it to reach such a big audience. And then it did. And then we felt like, oh, now we can do even more. Like we have people like our Uzbek students that are here that are going to support us. And we can do different things based on their interests.
Especially for the advisor roles, we didn't expect to receive that many applications. Yeah. So we had to have two stages of recruitment and selection process.
So 2.5 months passed and you have been quite active. Tell me what you have done so far.
So had a couple of events.
Yep.
Participated in the events that the embassy organized, or like, for example, Central Asia Forum at the University of Cambridge. Also the conference at the University of Oxford. I mean, we were guests there, but we also like helped and just, I don't know. It feels like we did a lot, to be honest.
I don't know. Like, I think every month we have a lot of events. We have a lot of shifts, of course. We have a little delays. We can change our plans surrounding what's happening within the community. Also, like, all the, like, issues with, like, funding with spaces and everything also comes in the way of whatever we can achieve of when you do events. But it's also nice that we feel connected with the community, that they feel happy to invite us to the events as well and like help them out because they have seen what we have done in previous events. And so then we come and they're like, you know what, you can help out us with like guiding the guests, with doing that. And so, yeah, I think our scope of events are not just limited of what we decide to do, but it's also like what the community in general like allows us to do within their events.
The event that we're particularly proud of doing is the upcoming industry visit to KPMG, because we managed to get a lot of registrations for that event. So it's our first time organizing an industry visit, because that's something that we've been hearing a lot from our members. In our upcoming event, they will receive special presentation just for our members, the recruitment process at the company. They'll be able to ask questions, especially the fact that they will be able to find out information about how they, coming from Uzbekistan, will be able to integrate in an international organization. Because in the UK, especially with the recent changes about visa procedures, I think a lot of students and graduates from Uzbekistan are interested.
And learning it from the source is obviously, it's a great opportunity. For those who are watching, obviously the episode is being filmed at the middle of May. By the time it will be released, obviously the events will be there. But those who don't want to miss out on this type of events, how they can find out about future events that you are organizing, and what do they need to do to be part of those events?
Follow UzbekSU on Instagram. I do the posts and I enjoy doing that a lot. So follow them. We always advertise them in advance, obviously. We also have a Telegram channel. We have a members group chat on Telegram as well. And to become a member, basically, it's really easy. You just have to fill out the membership form, which is always in our bio, everywhere on LinkedIn, on Insta, Telegram. And then that's it. We basically advertise as much as we can.
We'll put the link to the Instagram and Telegram channels on our description to this podcast. So if you are interested, go and support them by either becoming a member or if you can, by any other means. Mm-hmm. Funding is another thing, another big thing to this kind of organization. How are you guys funded?
Okay, so we're really grateful for the embassy initially because they always allow us to use their venue whenever we need it, and they can always help us out with other stuff. Regarding anything that happens outside of the embassy walls is all on us. And so it's our job to find anybody who would be willing to sponsor us or to fund us. I think when we initially started, we didn't want to like introduce membership fees because people are unaware of what kind of events we do or what is our objective. So we didn't want to put the pressure of like, pay us so you can join us. You know, we would want them to enjoy as many of the free events as possible, particularly because the students come from all different places and we want to make sure that they can all enjoy it, come, because some of them already have to pay for their travels. So we don't want to make it like a burden to also have to pay to come to our events. But currently we only had one event that was not like you had to pay a fee to come for it. But yeah, we were scared of it initially. We're like, oh, will people come? Is the price affordable? Does it make sense of why we put that price for the people? But it still did work out. We did have people come. And it was actually our networking lunch with you.
Yeah, I do remember. I think it was great. But obviously, yeah. my judgment is not objective here.
Yeah, we also think it was great.
Yeah, we really liked it. And people really liked it. And I met a couple of other students. Like, I don't know them personally, but they know me from OZSU. So when they approached me, they were like, oh my God, you should do more networking lunches. Like, it's such an easy format to follow. And we're like, yes, I think it did. It did really work out well.
It was really interesting. I mean, the conversations we had were quite broad as well. We spoke about, well, the change was the main topic, but topics like AI and stuff, I wasn't expecting to be talking about that.
Censorship.
yes. Mm-hmm. And it's good that the embassy has kind of provided this platform for the young people to come and talk about these things. So you're planning to do more of these kind of events? Networking lunches?
Yeah. Networking lunch is going to be like a series of events. So yes. We're good. Planning to just invite guests once in a month, once in a couple of months, whenever we have like a free time for like an event.
Yeah. We're planning to diversify it. So not always related to business. Lots of
That's
different
a good
subjects
idea. Yes.
And areas of interest. And also regarding the price, we're also not trying to earn out of it. We're just putting the minimum price just to cover the costs, because we'll always keep in mind that we're doing it for students and we want it to be as accessible as possible.
So OZSU is obviously a non-profit organization.
Yes.
And the membership is free, or is it paid membership?
No, it's
a free membership.
For now or forever?
I don't think we have any plans of introducing it. I think currently the free one works out for us well. I don't know, maybe in the future if we have like the big scale events that we cannot find sponsorships, maybe then we will start looking at other means of funding our events.
As you said, you are a non-for-profit organization. The membership is free. Some events are paid for. Some are not.
I think most of them are not. We only had one event currently that was paid. Other were all free.
You talked about embassy supporting you. When we were preparing for this episode, we talked to some people and there was kind of a feeling that your organization is part of the embassy organization. Is that the case?
No.
A lot of people actually think that way, but it's not the case. We are in a great partnership with the embassy. However,
we're an independent organization.
Why would people think that you're part of embassy then?
I think, first of all, a lot of our events happen at embassy. I think maybe people just get used to the embassy layout, so they always think, oh, because they always do it there, that means they kind of work there or they're like part of the embassy. I also, maybe us being present in other events that are non-OZSU related, like going to the other embassy events, they also see us like greeting them near the door, telling them, oh, you can come here, you can leave your stuff here, the event is happening there. So maybe in their head it formulates like, oh, like they're together, they're just like under, like the OZSU is under the embassy.
But you're doing it like they're doing you a favor. You're helping them out with their events.
Yes,
so
yes.
It's kind of a mutually beneficial
setup.
However, saying that, I've looked at your Instagram bio and the website link goes to the embassy website. So can that be the reason why people think that you are associated with the embassy?
Yeah, probably because we're a bit slow with creating our page at the web, like at either the embassy's website, just like the link to like the societies that are connected to the embassy. We're just slow with creating our own website. That's like partially, I think, my fault as well. I need to remove the embassy link.
Going through some comments to your post on Instagram, that's an interesting exercise.
Under the networking lunch thing.
Yes, like the real. Yes. I think that's how it came to my attention. There was a lot of kind of criticism addressed to the embassy, which was under your profile. Do you want to make some sort of statement that, well, you already said that you are not part of the embassy. What would you suggest to people who want to kind of provide their feedback to the embassy? Can they do it through you, or are there any other better channels to communicate that?
I think we would be happy like to help them get in contact with the embassy if the comments that they left were like seeking for help rather than putting the blame on us. You know, I think it's a very different narrative of the way they approach, because sometimes it does not translate to us as them of like, oh, like maybe you can help me out. Like we can tell them, like, you know, embassy's open. I mean, for us, we have just came into the embassy, knocked at their doors and be like, please accept us.
Literally.
Yeah. So that was our way of doing it. And I think anytime we go to the embassy and the other events are there, they always tell to other students as well, they can come at any time and give them any of their feedback or any of their problems or share anything that the embassy can help them out with. So I would say like, just be direct, you know, you can come to the embassy, you can knock at their door. They're happy to like welcome and listen to you. And
the diplomats working at the embassy are extremely welcoming and open. As Sabina said, they support our project as well. And also, especially the comments they received, we noticed that they were related to the visa related issue. So we initially didn't even understand how we could possibly influence those sort of problems.
I was, to be surprised, honest, to see those comments, because I have seen the dynamic of the change in the embassy, and I fully agree with you. They are very open, they are very reactive and very responsive. So obviously sometimes things get on the way of things and people might not be as responsive as they normally are, but I think people need to kind of go and talk to the embassy rather than channeling their feedbacks and comments through other platforms.
I also like, I appreciate the people that might have left sort of comments, but after we express that, like, actually we are independent organization, like this is not like the matter that we're currently able to help you with, they understand and they're like, oh, like, so sorry, you know, like I thought it was a different way. I feel like our Instagram reels also makes us more popular, because like thanks to Asha,
they go viral though.
They go viral,
yeah.
Which brings a lot of more attention, and it's not always bad, but I guess as we say, any PR is good PR.
Of course.
Yeah, Asha's very good with knowing that what's trendy at the moment and finding the right spot for the...
That's a good skill. That's a good skill. Speaking of you guys individually, can you tell me about your background? How did you come to UK? What are you doing here now? And again, how are you balancing whatever you're doing with the society?
My name is Asha, and I'm currently Information Communication Executive at UzbekSU/President of KCL Central Asian Society. So Central Asian Society at King's College London, and I'm finishing my second year right now. I study media. My program's called Culture, Media and Creative Industries. I think since I was like in middle school, I always wanted to study abroad. And the reason why I wanted to study in the UK, I think because the education is in English, because I visited UK a couple of times. I've been in London and I liked it a lot. So I always wanted to study here. In Tashkent, I finished Westminster Lyceum. So I finished it in 2021 and then went straight to the UK. I did like a foundation year at school for international students, and then I applied to King's, and that's how I'm here.
And you're studying at the moment which area?
Media.
Media. You're
Culture,
studying media,
media
right
and creative industries.
Yeah. Right. Sabina?
Yes. So, hello. My name is Sabina, I guess. I was born and raised in Tashkent, but my family is originally from Samarkand. Like, I'll say hello to Samarkand guys, to Khosrowbot, to Manna, like all of you guys, hello. But then I was studying in English school. So I was studying in Tashkent International School, like since fifth grade onwards. So that's why I was already surrounded with a lot of different people from different cultures. And for all of us, it was the same set, like all of us are going to go study abroad. For some reason, it was always UK. I don't know why. Maybe, I think it was because everybody recognized, like, you know, Oxbridge and everything, you know, and like, you know what, I think that's going to be a good place to study. So then in my last year of university, I applied to UK, I got in. So I did my bachelor's in economics at the University of Manchester. And then I finished in 2023, so last summer. And then I applied to master's straight away. So since September of 2023, I've been doing my master's at London School of Economics in development management.
That's impressive. Donna, I know that you're coming from far.
Yes, I traveled from Edinburgh today. Took the earliest train at 5 a.m. So yeah, my name is Donna. I am a student at the University of Edinburgh. I'm finishing my second year and I went to the British School of Tashkent. I spent 9 years studying there. I received my IGCSE certificates and A-level certificates there, which allowed me to enroll directly into first year at a British university. I study social policy and economics, which is an area that I've been interested in for a while, even in school. And I also started a Central Asian and Turkic society in my university as soon as I arrived in my first semester. It was something that I was planning to do for about 2 years before arriving at university, because I noticed that there was only one university that had a Central Asian society, and that was Sabina's society. So she was like the role model for all of us who did it before us. And as soon as I arrived, I was looking for Central Asians all around the university. When I found a few students from Kazakhstan, I reached out to them to see if they know anyone else from Central Asia. And like that, we were able to establish a society. We have a few, about 20 regular members. Other than that, we have a lot of international students, British students that come to our events. So far, it's going great.
That's great. I mean, Edinburgh, I wouldn't expect that many people to represent our region. I mean, London, obviously, it's quite big and dynamic, but being able to build a society in places like Manchester and Edinburgh, that's, we need to give credit to that. I do remember, Sabina, your society. I was one of your guests as well there, and I could see how well organized the events were previously as well. How do you know each other then? How did you come together? If you have like in different parts of the UK.
Yeah, and we all met differently in different years. For example, like me and Jasur went to the same lyceum. We just knew each other from Model United Nations. And then me and Dono met because we help out with VAYU, which is like the World Association of Youth of Uzbekistan, which was 2 years ago. And then me and Sabina met only when we actually met on the plane.
Yeah, we met on the plane.
Yeah, we just went
on the plane,
on yes. a plane okay. through mutual friends. And then we started talking and hanging out when she went to London to study.
Yes.
Yeah. And me and Sabina met at the Uzbekistan League Forum in October.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And me and Ashes met, as she said, 2 years ago. And me and Jasur known each other since the age of 7.
Right.
Yeah. Childhood friends.
For me and Jasur, we met on the day that UZC was launched.
Not launched. Created.
Yeah,
created.
In December.
So Jasur was in Uzbekistan as well when you...
Yes. He was there, obviously.
We have a photo even.
Yeah.
First photo.
Great.
We had a fifth member though.
Who's a fifth member?
That didn't make it to the launch.
So he is currently finishing his studies at the University of Manchester. He's the one that took over the Central Asian Society after I left. And Yura Kim.
Shout out to Yura.
I met him. Yes. Great. I admire your guys' energy. I mean, these kind of things require a lot of energy. What are the plans for the future? What should people expect from the society?
So, I mean, our events and everything revolves around the academic years of other students. So currently, until the end of May, all our events since March and May are all focused mostly on like academic and career related stuff. And that's how we're going to end the month off. And then starting in the summer period, we want to focus more maybe on the social aspects with students that are here, encourage them to be more out, maybe organize some hikes, organize some field trips, and do more of that like community building stuff, because all the academic and career related stuff will not be the most important during that period. And then from September on, we're back being focused on career and academics, helping students with their CV because it's application period. So that's going to be busy, allowing them to hopefully network with different companies, with different fields, to introduce them to other stuff like that they can use their degree on.
Like to mention that also at the moment, most of our events are in London, but we're planning to operate throughout the UK. We were planning to do something in Edinburgh in May, but I think it's most likely to be something that we're going to do next semester.
Yeah. Right.
But we won't be limited even to Edinburgh. It would be Manchester, Cardiff. We have members throughout the UK, so we're planning to come to them.
Speaking of the events, how do you plan your events? How do you pick the topics? Do you get some sort of feedback from your members, or is it based on your own experience?
I think we just brainstorm. We have occasional Zoom calls. We try to make them as regular as we can. And then during those Zoom calls, we just like think of what we can do next month, and then we have those like outline of events that we would like to do, and then we just see which ones are possible, like doable in like a certain period of time, and then we just proceed with that.
It also depends, like, I mean, we made a rough plan in March when we had our launch. We also had a rough plan of what we want to do for the next 3 months. And of course, the first month, it was easy to follow that plan because like we're just new. But after we started gaining like recognition from other people, we got invites to other places. So the events started to shift around. And then we also started networking with people, which were like, you know what, we can come, like we can do this, we can try to do this collab, which I think is like also where we got like KPMG, for example, is we got reached out. We're like, this is a great opportunity, like we're going to go with it. And then because certain things work out, we want to like continue it. Similarly with like industry visits, we hope to continue it with different companies and with like networking lunch. Like we see what works out from previous events, what we could adjust. And it also like on what topics we would think is interesting for our members based on their comments. I think I'm happy that they're able to express like their recommendations. They like the events, but they also could be like, oh, what if we try, like, what if we do something like this? What if you guys try something new? And so we always like try to listen, see if that's feasible for us, and then go from there.
One of the factors I think that help to create and brainstorm is that we're not limited to our role. So even though everyone has specific set of responsibilities and tasks in the charter, we're always free to play around, experiment with the ideas of the events. So anyone is welcome to contribute within our committee as well as for people coming from the outside as well.
Speaking of your members, obviously, given that you are becoming quite popular and hopefully your memberships, number of your members are growing as well, I presume you are aware of the problems and issues the students are experiencing in the UK as well. Would you be able to kind of pinpoint a few problems that students who are coming from Uzbekistan to study here are experiencing at the moment? Challenges, not quite problems, problems or challenges.
It would be something that I've noticed not during my time at UZSU, but just some like an personal observation that I've noticed is that a lot of students are coming into the UK through an agency that gets them enrolled into a university that students themselves don't know much about. Right. So they provide false information about the ranking of the university, about what their degree and program looks like. And then when they come with some sort of expectations, their expectations are not met. Mm-hmm. That's just something I've noticed myself when I was talking to some students from Uzbekistan.
I actually noticed that as well. And a lot of people do transfers. I have a couple of Uzbeks that I know that did their first year at some other university. And because it did not fit their expectation, they always like transfer and then try something else. I also feel like a lot of students when they come here have housing issues.
Yep.
I think people don't understand how, first of all, hard it gets to find a place to live, how unaffordable it gets, like particularly when you're in London and you don't expect so many costs. And I think it like just all piles up, like your utility costs will come and you're like, oh wow, like what? I think it's like a lot of things, it's not as easy as it seems, because I mean there is a housing crisis in the UK and everything, and it's hard when you don't know how the system operates, like to which agencies to go, what kind of sites to use to find it, like how can you narrow down like what to look out during your viewing so you don't get like black mold in your new flat when you come in, or like how to take care of your place.
Are you planning to provide this kind of information? Because I think that that would be a very good value for the members, and it will be a useful source of information as well. Some sort of guide for the students to look out for when they come here.
I have actually talked about this with my advisors, and one of my advisors proposed that idea. And I think during the summer term, when we don't have a lot of stuff to do, it's going to be like the perfect time to create a guide just to include all necessary information, also possibly like renew it once in a while just to include something new that's popping up. So yeah, we are planning to do it with, and I think we're aiming to just include everything as we can, like as much as we can.
Working and studying, I've heard a lot of students trying to balance that. Not everyone comes from the privileged background. They think that they can come and earn their tuition fees by working here. And in most of the cases, they struggle to keep the right balance. They either miss their deadlines, get poor marks, or they're not able to generate enough income to cover their tuition fees. Do you think that is an issue? Do you think that it is possible from your experience, from your network, from your members' experience to come work and study at the same time to be able to cover their living expenses and tuition expenses?
To cover everything, I don't think so. Because, I mean, as an international student, your tuition fee is already so much more higher than like the home students. And your living costs, I think it's hard. I think you can balance it in a way that you could cover one of those. That could be more doable. But you also have to remember that when you do your housing and when you do your tuition, you have to pay up front. It's not like you can pay it every month. You have to either do it like three times during the year or once in the beginning. So it like all depends on how much savings you have or how much you're able to actually be financially literate in order to put everything in the correct places. The balance of working and studying depends on the person, I think, and what kind of work they do. Because if you work for a company, something related in your field, that could be useful to you because technically you're also studying at your new place that could be used for your studies. And some of them also work at universities, which I think is a lot of popular places to do just because you can change your work schedule around with your classes. So yeah, I think it just depends on where you work and how you as yourself as a person are able to have a discipline balancing everything.
Yeah, I also agree that tuition fees and living costs would be something very hard to achieve, especially because the visa only allows to work up to 20 hours a week. And in order to cover both, it would probably mean that you would have to break some sort of legislations regarding the time limits that you're allowed to do. But a lot of students in the UK that are struggling, I've noticed, enjoy the Eliurt Foundation, because the foundation covers tuition fees and living costs. So we recommend students that have potential financial limitations or would like to come back to Uzbekistan to work in the government or public sector to explore this option as well.
Scholarship is another thing I was going to ask, actually. So obviously, if it is challenging to work and cover your tuition fees, there are other opportunities like Eliurt Umide, as Donal said, or many other scholarships that universities themselves provide or some other organizations. Where can students normally get information about the scholarships and how they can increase their chances of getting one?
For undergraduate programs, it's only Eliurt Umide that covers both tuition
and
tuition
evening.
Fees. And living
Chivning scholarship.
But Chivning would be for master students.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that a new thing or has it been like that?
It's been like that for, I believe, 20 years.
Okay. So if anyone wants to do the master's, Chivning, Eliud Umidi does the master's as well. Yeah?
And PhD, and all PhD sorts of programs.
And I think for university-based scholarships, so these ones are usually not like full ride. They could partially cover or
give a discount.
Or give a discount based on those. But it all depends on the course that you apply. And they all have their own requirements. I believe they have batches of when they accept applications specifically looking towards scholarship opportunities or any like funding opportunities. So you would have to keep it up with the university itself.
Speaking of the future now, we touched the society's future plans. And obviously we know that each of you, the founders, have their own future plans as well. And at some point that they will not match each other. So are you thinking of the succession, of the continuity? The reason I'm asking is, through my experience, I've seen a few of these kind of initiatives that have started really well with a lot of enthusiasm. But when the founders or organizers have stopped being a student, obviously it doesn't make sense for them to be in charge of the student organization. What are you planning to do different?
Yes? I think one of the things that we introduce that gives us hope for the future, I guess, is our advisors. I mean, they already work directly with us. And I mean, we from them know that we could see potential in them taking over our spot because they already know how the system works. They know like at what things we look at, what kind of challenges we face and everything. And I do like that we do have, it's not generally like a ladder formation, but you can be like a base, like just being a member, then you could be like a volunteer that helps on and off cases, or you could be an advisor and help like all the time with us. And I like that they can focus on that and also be able to like step up in the future potentially, because we already know, at least for us, that they know how the society works and they could do the next steps.
And executive committee members are voted in every single year on an annual basis. So we have
voted by who? By the members?
Members, yes. Okay. So we'll have democratic elections
for politics?
The committee positions. So everyone has an opportunity to try themselves out, to join the election process.
That's great. That's great. We have a lot of traditions in our podcast. If you have seen the previous episodes, one of our tradition is we ask our guests to suggest one book. And obviously, as we have more than one guest today, I would ask each of you to recommend one book to our audience and why you are recommending that book.
I would like to recommend a book that's called A Thousand Splendid Sons by Khaled Hosseini. He's an Afghan-American writer and novelist, and it's basically a series of three books about the life of Afghan people from the Soviet takeover, so 1980s, to like the Taliban control after the 9/11, and it's just telling a story of regular people. A Thousand Splendid Sons, especially, is like, this one is my favorite because it's about women, and it's about the way their lives have been changed throughout the changes of the regimes in Afghanistan. Yeah.
That's a great book. Yes. Sabina?
I would recommend the book called Normal People by Sally Rooney. And if you have heard about the book before, I think the initial theme that people think it is about love. But the book is more about, it's about personal growth and the transition, particularly from high school to university, when you change your city, when you change your circumstances, when you change the people around you. And it touches upon like themes of like how your surroundings shape you. Like that sometimes they could put you in a bubble, sometimes they could make you think of certain things about yourself, and like how certain shifts can change for good or for bad. And it explores the two storylines of the two main characters and how they adapt and they grow through different periods of their life. And I mean, I read it once I was in UK as well. So it was a nice book to go through all those like traumas of mental health issues, of societal barriers, and just be able to understand how you're shaped with everything that's around you. And like, I think it's good for personal growth.
So I think it's quite topical to your members and audience as well. Yeah, that's great. Donna?
A book that I would recommend is a book that sparked interest in politics for me. I read it 3 years ago. It's called Awakening Forces by Georgia's third president, Mikhail Saakashvili. It's not very well known because it's not openly available in bookstores, but it's definitely worth reading because the president wrote it while he was in office. He covers the historical elements and aspects of Georgian history, such as the Rose Revolution, how the power went across from the previous president, and a lot is covered. And especially my favorite part about the book is that lessons are evaluated for other countries that also wish to go through the process of democratization.
Great. All of the recommendations are great books. Thanks a lot for doing that. The other tradition we have is the free microphone. Free microphone is you talking about any topic you want. You can take this opportunity and promote something. I'm not sure what, but I think you have a few things to say. So free microphone, it's you and the audience. I think we will do it in turns because it's the first time we're doing it with three people. You can say whatever you want, as I said. If there were any topics that we have not covered, you can cover it during that. Microphone is yours. Sorry.
We actually have one topic that we just want to like all talk about. As like Infocom, I just want to mention before that, just follow Uzbekisi on social media once again. And then we just wanted to talk about university experiences. And we encourage students in general and from Uzbekistan and just like from all over just to not be afraid to step out of their comfort zones. Because at the end of the day, they only have one university experience, like the first university experience, especially if it's the one that they do abroad. And it's such an unforgettable experience that you just want to enjoy it and just take as much as you can from it.
Expand your circle. Meet people of different cultures, from different places. Learn about their place. Share about your own culture. You would not understand how people are so excited to learn about Uzbekistan. Be vocal. And you are not going to be in your young 20s all the time. Mm-hmm. So this, as in your years, while you're in a different place and such an opportunity that not a lot of people can have, use them and try everything. Like at this age, you can fail, you can restart, you can do anything, explore yourself in different fields, try anything you want. If you want to open up something, if you don't feel like that's successful, be happy just to maximize any opportunities that you have.
You only have about 15 or 20 hours of lectures and tutorials a week. So you have a lot of free time to experiment. You can try out different societies. You can try skydiving, football, basketball. There's so many societies. There are about 200 or 300 societies in every British university or even universities outside of the UK. So try things that you didn't even know about before you come to university. So do not waste your time, because after graduation, you won't be able to spend your time as freely as you can at the moment.
Excellent. Excellent. Thanks a lot. And the last tradition, I was thinking if we will be able to do it in this new format with three guests or not. But we normally ask the guests before us to leave a question to the following guest without knowing who they are. And obviously, you don't know who the author of the question is. And so far, it was our, I think, strongest traditions, because people ask many different deep questions that makes you think a lot. So I think I'll ask, and you again, in turn, will answer that question. The question was asked previously is there anything that you regret you've done so far in your life, and what kind of lessons you have learned from that?
I personally can't think of a major regret that I would carry up to this day, because everything I do, I try to take a lesson out of it. So even thinking about it now, I can't even think of anything, because everything helped me come to today's version of myself.
I think I agree with Donna on this one, because of course, as every other person, I have done many things that I have wouldn't be doing right now, or like I did some mistakes, like I've made them, but it's not something that I like necessarily like regret doing or something that I would go back to change, because yeah, it made me who I am.
I think maybe there's not much of regret, but if I could like tell myself 4 years ago when she freshly came to UK is be ready for like the hustle culture of UK and know how things operate around you. So like sometimes I wish maybe I started applying for things earlier and didn't leave everything for the end. But I don't regret it in a way, because I still got opportunities that I got. I still worked in different places that I liked. And yeah.
So if you turn any problem to a learning opportunity, obviously it will not be a regret. You'll become a different person and you'll learn a lot from it. Excellent. Yes, Sabina?
I think if you focus a little too much on regret, you're going to have a midlife crisis. So don't have regret, because, I mean, yeah, you're here because of everything you have done in the past. So
live in the present.
Yeah, live in the present.
Excellent, excellent. I think this is a very good point to stop our podcast. It was really helpful. It was very, very informative. Thanks a lot for doing that. Thanks for coming all the way from Edinburgh for that.
A pleasure.
I'm sure we will see a lot of the OOS-SU activities. And we hopefully will have you as a guest in future as well, where we will discuss your success and rich events that you are doing so far. So good luck to you.
Thank you so much for inviting.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to be here. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. That's it.
Thank you.
Great. How did it go?
Good.
Did you cover everything?
Yeah.